with Pauline Bithell. She is someone that I've known for a while, probably, I don't know, like I feel like 3 or 4 years maybe now. We met at the Crooked Path in LA. She's a writer, a podcaster of a project that I am like dying to get on. It's called Tender Love and Care. And they talk about TLC shows, and I'm like a huge Sister Wives nerd. So like, you guys have to watch for that if that interests you at all, because this is one of a two-part collaboration that we're doing. So I wanted to, first of all, Pauline, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited we can reconnect again. And I'm so excited to dig into Sister Wives. That's for another moment. But I'm excited to get into everything that you want to talk about today.
Yes. So the reason I wanted to have you on was just, this isn't something that you are forthcoming about immediately, but in the time that I've known you, you've mentioned having animal communication experiences. And to hear that in casually from someone who isn't a practicing animal communication person, who I know to be intuitive just from my interactions from you, was very fascinating to me, especially because every story that I've ever heard seemed so believable. And I just knew that what you were telling me was the real thing. And so I wanted to start off, I wanted to do this because it's Virgo season. And so the animals are really chatty right now. And I wanted to sort of like ask you, how did this happen to you? When did you first realize it? Like, I want a little origin story download, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Happy and willing. So it's really interesting because, you know, I've always come to you, Renee, for such fantastic readings. And anybody listening to this, try if you can, if Renee ever has a second and free time, book her. Like, the most amazing readings. I've sent everybody to you. And we would chat about animals. And of course, darling Voodoo, just got to say hello to your darling Voodoo angel. I mean, really what happened to me, it's interesting because as a very, very young child, you know, I was brought up in a household in England, mother from Scotland, father from Wales, and grandparents from Ireland. So the food was meat and potatoes. And my mum would say at a very, very young age, she would attempt to give me meat and I would refuse it. I couldn't eat, I didn't drink milk. The only animal product that I would ever have was the cheese and some yogurt. Any time she would try to give me meat, I just refused it, and she couldn't understand why. She was terrified that there was something wrong with me because I wouldn't eat all of these products that kids would eat, especially not any meat. And I do remember having very, very young, and we always had animals in the house. And I felt like I had a very good balance between my parents. My mother was someone that would talk about communication and tenderness with animals. And my father was very much taking me out into the woods, like the habitat of animals and more of the science behind them. My mother definitely had a lot, she's passed away now, but had a lot of connection with the other world. Huge amounts, more so than I do. But she would always talk about animals. And we would constantly see them coming to us. And I started, you know, having the animals in the house and then always just being able to understand what they needed. There's no way, it's interesting because I cannot put a name to it. I cannot really always articulate what it is. It's just something you know. And you'd be familiar with that feeling yourself, Renee, like with your connection with the other world and spirits and speaking to them. It's something that isn't tangible. You can't really explain why it's there or how it's there. I just knew as I got older, I'd go over to friends' houses. The animals would always come to me without fail. I was always in nature, always taking in the wounded animals. They would come to me and I just would be able to look at them, understand what they were saying and communicate it to others. And I feel like I certainly got that. And it was passed down from my mother. My mother was someone who would open her back door and the garden would be full of cats. Aww. They'd all come to my mum. And it was beautiful, but it's also been, with any gift I think that you have in life, there can always be some sort of a, perhaps burden is a little bit of a strong word, but I can't walk away from situations with animals where others can.
Right.
You know, I was never, when I was younger, I've never watched Bambi. I couldn't watch The Lion King. I couldn't watch films like Homeward Bound, all of that. I'd be a mess for weeks.
Right.
I could never watch anything where animals would be in distress.
And those were all one and dones for me. I'm jealous that you like got a chance to I'm jealous you missed it, because those are all like one and done, like never again.
Never. I knew what was going to happen, and I knew what, I can't watch wildlife documentaries. And everybody, you know, you get the accusation of being too sensitive as though it's a negative thing. But, you know, there's pros and cons to it. But for example, with my mother, and when I would be at her house and when I'd be living at home, we never turned an animal away. So then you end up with this, all these animals coming in to be fed and all these animals coming in to show you their lives and talk to you. And even at my mum's funeral, it was a very, very strange occurrence. As, you know, we were standing outside the church, the local cats all came to the church.
Aww.
It really was something very, very magical. And yeah, as I've got older, my friends will ask me to come over. My friend, just, you know, very recently, her cat was not responding. Elder cat. She thought this possibly be the end. And I went over and I brought some crystals with me, and I sat with him and I just talked to him, and I said to him, you know, if it is your time to go, it's okay. And he hissed at me, and my friend said, what? He never hisses, and he's never hissed at me. And I said to my friend, he's not ready to go. This isn't his time. You need to get him some ice cream. And she goes, what? And I said, just get him some ice cream, because he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking. Called out the ice cream. He started to eat. He'd had a tooth infection, but it was not the end of his path. And he was telling me, and he was angry at me for suggesting it. He just wanted some ice cream. That's all he was going to eat.
Oh my gosh, that's so adorable.
The circumstances like that, Renee, that I can't really tangibly put it into words why it's there, but it's just a feeling when I'm around animals.
Do you get, so for me, when I have messages come in, it's always different. Like a picture will pop in my head, or almost like a sentence gets pushed in my head, because it's not it's not like a conversation that's linear. It's like all of a sudden, like an entire sentiment will just be in my brain, you know?
Absolutely.
And it varies from person to person. So I'm curious if you've noticed that like different animals communicate differently, and if you experience it differently depending on what the animal's trying to convey or their personalities.
I think it's you hit the nail on the head there by saying it's not linear. It can be strange. It's not audible. The way, it's not a full-on sentence that I'm hearing. Usually for the majority of all animals, actually, I think for me it's universal. I always describe it, and this is the only way I can really describe it, is though it's kind of sentences that appear in my head. I don't hear it. I don't really see visions. It's a sentence of I need or I want. They're always trying to express to me if they're in pain, if they need something, if they're having too much of something. And then I always describe it as though it's like vomit, right? It's like when you need to throw up, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And for me, I just say it out loud. It's in my head, and then it comes out my mouth. That's the only way I can kind of ever describe it. So I'll sit with an animal, they'll come to me, I look at them, I touch them, I feel them, the sentence, the need, the want is in my head, and then it spills out of my mouth.
Right. Like it's your job to be the translator. Like it might not even come in through words, but somehow like something is communicated to you, and then all of a sudden, like you just, your brain knows the words and it says it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you remember the first time that an animal communicated with you in a way that was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, do you remember something like that happening?
I think I used to have this pet snail when I was younger, and I named him, it was very imaginative, I named him John. But he would come back year after year to me. And that sounds crazy. He would be in the garden during the winter, and I'd always find him in the same space. And I marked him, it was like with nail polish or something, and he would return to the same space every year in my garden.
That's cute.
And I loved him. And it sounds so silly. It was a snail, but I loved him. I loved being around him.
I think it's so sweet. Cute.
It was, and he was wonderful. And I just knew that... that he kept returning to me for a reason. And I think it solidified my attachment to animals. I was obsessed with hedgehogs growing up as well. We have those in England and I love them dearly. I would have the mother or the father of hedgehogs come and show me their little ones. They'd bring their little ones to my door in my back garden, which I adored because I love hedgehogs. So I would say my first real thought was probably of John. John would always come back to me.
Yeah. And I guess love I just him. Like, and you guys would just sort of like hang out and like share space.
It was a sharing of space. It was that, it's really painting a picture here of a very lonely little girl, but I promise I wasn't.
I know that sounds like a little girl with a lot of friends. They're just like, you know, they're not going to steal your snack. Like there's, they're gonna hang out.
I loved my most peaceful time was being in the garden, and it was a beautiful place just to sit in the soil and just talk to the animals and in what way that would come. But I would always have moments where they would come so close, or they would. You know, butterflies on me. And I started to realize as I get older, I didn't really know it when I was younger, but it doesn't really happen to everyone.
Right.
But it does come with definitely a lot of pain, I guess, because I want to save them all. Right. I want to save them all. I want to help them all. And it is very, very hard to deal with that. Just driving around Los Angeles, if I see a dog in the street, my day's over. My day's done. I need to go and understand where that animal is. I need to find out what's going on with him or her. I need to get them back to the right owner. If that's not the right owner, then what do I do? I can't give it to a shelter because it needs to come home. I mean, it's just like, it's honestly I'm so grateful to have the connection. But then there's other circumstances, Renee, like, I'm being a vegetarian. I mean, I don't call myself a vegan because I do eat cheese, and that's kind of the only animal product I do eat. And that still, yeah. To me, it's not okay, and I need to stop. It's not okay. I'm dwindling it down slowly by slowly. But I have a very, very hard time with meat eaters. And it's hard because you're vegan, vegetarian, get this terrible rap of always, oh, yeah, let's. Your beliefs from somebody else, but for me, I feel like it goes so much deeper. And I've described it like this before. If I was going to go out now, I don't have any tattoos, right? I'm somebody that's never had a tattoo, just because I think I changed my mind too much. I've just never had a tattoo. So even people with tattoos, I could, you know, the choice to go and get, say, a face tattoo is something that the majority of us is mind blown. Like, what? You go and get a face tattoo. That's crazy. Why would you? That is such a huge commitment. That is massive. It's so bewildering. And for me, I feel the same way for somebody who says that they eat meat. Like, it doesn't compute. It is not a circumstance for me to get on a soapbox and start lecturing people. It's more of this innate disbelief.
Yeah.
How could you understanding that animals are killed and you eat their flesh is so far out of my realm. It's like a math equation. I can't understand it.
I mean, I get that. I've been a vegetarian since I was 10. I'm like you, I eat cheese and like farmer's market eggs, but otherwise I try to stay away from dairy, and it's like,
yeah,
that's been a part of my life since I was 10. But I think I, like, my parents both ate meat, and I think I just, like, had to learn how to, like, disassociate from it and not, like, and not let it bother me. But, like, if I, because I've thought about, like, just casually in my head, like, would I try meat again? Like, just to, like, think about, you know, if I've changed at all. And if I, like, really think about it, and I think about me putting any sort of animal product, like a dead animal, up to my mouth, I'm like, no, I would fucking cry immediately. I would just, like, there's no possible way. Like, I just don't see how I could do it. And so, like, there's, like, a huge, like, mental block for me where it's like, I can't, like, I think I would throw up instantly.
It's a concept I cannot understand. And trust me, there have been times in my life, like yourself, that I thought my life would have been easier if I ate meat, because I was always the kid at the party that wouldn't eat anything, because I didn't eat chicken nuggets. I didn't eat all of this stuff that everybody else had. It was just, so I was always the annoying kid that couldn't eat this and couldn't eat that. I go to dinner parties, I have to pre-warn everyone. Even like in 2023, Renee, it still is. You can go to a restaurant, of course there'll be veggie options, there'll be vegan options, but still everyone's like, oh, what do you want, a salad? If someone offers me a salad or just plain pasta, like, it's just, that's all there is. It's still not a lot of movement with it all.
I mean, like if I'm with a group of friends and they want to go to a steakhouse, like, I'll be a good trooper, but I'm like fucking miserable. And like, I get a little pissy pants that they even want me to go. Cause like, you can usually have something made or ordered size or something, but then like the whole like restaurant just smells terrible to me. Like,
it's death.
Anyway.
And I mean, I think you're probably much more, you're probably kinder about it. See, this is where I get myself in trouble. One of the areas of my life I get myself in trouble is that I really can't shut up. So I can't temper down, because to me it is so horrific. And then everyone's like, oh, here we go. Peter Polly is coming out and giving everyone a lecture. And it's just so innately wrong to me. And I cannot fathom someone saying to me, I'm cooking lamb.
Oh, you're, I know. I think what? About that None too. But you know, it's what? Then I, so... I feed my dog meat, though, and I don't think twice about it, because I'm like, this is my baby, I have to take care of.
That's interesting. Like, where is the line with that? And I'm sure Voodoo loves it. It's just, it's hard. It is hard. It affects being able to talk to animals, being able to understand them. You get vilified, which I'm sure you'd be familiar with when you started, you know, sharing your gifts with other people and reading people. And then you meet someone and you say, I'm a witch and I'm a medium. And people go, oh, all right. You know, when I meet people and I say, well, this animal needs this animal needs that. Oh, okay, what are you talking about? Oh, you talk, what do you think, you're Snow White? And I do joke a lot about myself. I do walk around the place being like, just waiting for like birds to fall on my hands, because honestly, that's my dream world to live in. But you are up for ridicule all the time. Oh, you're bloody vegetarian. How do you know you don't like meat? You should try a steak. You might like, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm sure you talk to the animals. The dog's fine. That's a sentence that will drive me over the bloody edge. The animal's fine. You know what? The animal's not fine. And I'm telling you, they're not fine.
Oh, so you've had people like brush off your messages before?
Oh, constantly. Like, I've had it in the park, you know, going up, and if I see a dog, without a harness on and just a collar around its neck, that's how we get collapsing tracheas. That you do not lead an animal around by essentially a rope around its neck.
I don't like that either. Well, I've seen people, I've seen commercials for those dog car seats where they use the dog's collar, not a harness, to strap it in. And I'm like, you're going to break that dog's neck if you just slam on the brakes. Like, what is happening?
But then, you know, I can then just put myself up for getting in fights with people constantly. But you know what? I'm English, so I'm fine with that. You know, I'm fine. with that. I can handle myself. But I will go into the park. I will see something like that. I'll say something. But then, Renee, I think about that animal for the next week, and I cry, and then you become like this emotional mess. And there are times when I would like to switch it off, but it is just not something that you're aware of as well. That you can't switch it off.
It takes a lot of work, and then I just end up feeling like, you know what I mean? Like, I can block certain things sometimes, but it's not something you can ever totally like shut out. And like, even when I am trying to shut things out, like I'll just have an energy at my ass, like, or my guides or whatever, like, you're shutting us out. I'm like, can I just be immortal right now? Can I just like drink my tea and think about rocks, like, but not magical crystal rocks, just like normal rocks, just rocks that exist.
Well, you just want to sit and watch Sister Wives. I just want to sit and watch Sister Wives.
Sister Wives is such a special show for me. I can't wait to talk about Sister Wives for it. I'm also curious, like, when was there like a watershed moment or like a turning point where you remember where you were like, I'm going to start actually like telling people what their animals are saying to me, like where that sort of like, cause I feel like anytime you have like some sort of intuitive gift, there's this apprehension that it's the real thing or that people will believe you. Yep. And like, you have to like deal with all these ego issues around like just doing the damn thing, like getting the courage to like say it. So I'm curious, like if you remember how and when that changed for you.
Well, I would note that I think as I'm getting older, it's becoming more prominent. And I'm a little bit worried about it because I'm feeling things more and more. And I mean, to everyone listening, Renee, you are the person that I go to. If I have questions like this, I always want to reach out, but I don't want to be like a sucker for all of your, you know, suck all your energy out.
Oh, you never do.
But I have questions like that of like, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and I'm feeling things more and more and more. And I don't know if that just, it could just perhaps be an energy state I'm in, or it could be with age I'm getting more signs. But I do remember one couple of particular times. I remember going to you actually for a reading. This is only 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I started to talk to you a little bit about it. And, you know, Darling Voodoo was coming around me to comfort me. I was going through a rough time.
Yeah.
And we were doing a reading. So fun. She's a great sense of humor. I will tell you that. That's what I love when I meet animals that have a great sense of humor. I just start giggling and laughing. And Voodoo is out of control.
She is.
She really is a cute girl, and I love her. But, you know, you were talking to me, and you said, you asked me, you know, is Voodoo saying anything? Has Voodoo got anything to say? And I felt that as a great comfort because it's, you know, it's validity, and it's also allowing me to kind of say things and believe in myself and what and the messages I'm getting.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily beforehand. I think I honestly think I'm still working on it. I'm still in a process of like, it's there and I'll say it, but I'm always scared. I'm always scared that I'll say something. You know, I'll be with someone and go, oh, well, your dog just really needs, like, they just want to be brushed more, or they want you to touch them more and they really like it. But I'm always scared. There's still hesitation in my voice of saying it because I know sometimes what people are going to say back to me. And more importantly, when they don't hear me, then I get angry.
Well, of course.
Then I get so angry.
Well, because you're trying to be a voice for someone who can't, you know, advocate for themselves. Someone, you know, I call them someones. They're persons to me. But like, sorry, I'm like hearing all these like weird sounds in my house now.
Well, I would love to. Also, Renee, you know, if anything's coming through, we can go right into that. If anything's coming through, I know you'll let me know.
Oh, in terms of like animal stuff or like
anything, because you know, I have a lot of things coming through when I'm on the phone. Like I hear a lot of stuff on the phone. I speak to my aunt every week in England, and my mum is always coming through on the phone.
Yes.
It's a path that she uses a lot. So we'll have to stop a conversation. And my aunt says, did you hear that? And sometimes I don't, and sometimes she does. So, you know, I just, you start hearing it, maybe my mom, I don't know who it is, but there's always somebody on the phone.
Honestly, the thing that I've been thinking of about this whole time is, have you thought about, like, bringing an element of training into it and offering it as a service?
It's interesting you say that. It has been in my mind. And you and I chatted a little bit to you when we were in person about also, you know, that element. And then, you know, there have been a lot of times in my life that spirits have communicated with me and I have passed on those messages. But I said to you, but I have no idea how to do that. I have no idea how to harness it. How do I, you know, I explain to people that I have passed messages on to that once you do it once, once you start identifying as an animal communicator or a psychic or a medium, then, you know, people will say, all right, then tell me what color my underwear is today. I can't do that. I can guess, I can't do that. But then sometimes I get messages for like 4 months in a row from people that have passed on and new people I meet, the animals. But then there'll be 4 months and I get nothing. So I said to you, I it must be a really like vigorous training I have to do. And there have been moments I'm like, I'd like to do it, but I'm fully transparent, it's quite frightening for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, I don't know how to.
Well, see, okay, so I always tell people who are intuitive that I think the most important thing to do is to be consistent with meditation. Like that's your whole foundation. Like, you know, if you can do 20 minutes a week or like 20 minutes, 5 times a week, like that's like when I decided I was going to go hard and figure out my shit and like train, which I did all by myself. Like I would talk to I would talk to other practitioners every now and then for advice and I would read, but like everything I just had to practice because that's the way I learn is through doing. And I think like the most important thing to figure out is like how to turn it off. And the way that I practice doing that would just be to like sort of visualize myself in a ball of white light, visualize my aura being stronger, visualizing like, you know, practicing how to like breathe out something that I know is a message that I just can't deal with in the moment, trusting that like I can come back to it when I'm ready to open up to it again. Like trusting that like I don't have to strike the second a message comes in, or if I feel like I'm going to lose that message, just write it down and I can decide if I'm going to do something with it later or not. But I think that like once you show that you can shut it down, once you've shown that you can ground and keep out messages, the universe is like, okay, you're ready for more, because you can sort of then tell the universe when it's time to back off. Because I think like when we're looking at spirit guides and energy on the other side that are feeding us intuitive messages, I think that there's like probably some sort of ethical standard around like not giving people too much at once, because it could make you crazy. And honestly, like when I see people who have, you know, clearly have mental stuff going on with them, sometimes I wonder did they like blow out their third eye, were they overexposed to something, like obviously like there are so many varying factors and I would never boil down something that complicated to that one sentiment, but like I think that there's this sort of like, if you want to bring in more intuition, there's this sort of like needing to show that you're responsible with being able to protect yourself, because as you open yourself up to, you know, the lighter messages, like you can also expose yourself to the darker stuff. And like, I've totally been aware of like, you know, bad vibes for like lack of a better term. But then it's like, oh, I know you're there. I'm like, I'm pushing you away. Oh, this nice message is here. Okay, come here. What's this? But once you have that sort of training down and established and like you start practicing with people, like start practicing, sounds like you already know how to go to an animal and say like, what's going on? Yep. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like you can go to an animal and it'll talk to you. So like, if you started offering that service to other people, you're actually just going to weed out all those like shitty reactions that you're getting from people who like you have a message for, but like aren't prepared to hear it because you're only getting people who want the message, you know?
Great advice. I'm going to take that absolutely into practice. I think I need, it's about concentration and it's removing the fear. So the tip for meditation, and so interesting to say that you have to know when to stop, into teaching yourself to stop, will increase the messages and probably the power of the messages as well. So that's great advice, Renee. That's really good. I'm going to implement that.
Thank you. I'm glad. I'm curious about like some of like, so I know that like, okay, so here's the thing, like with my practice, like I've definitely communicated with animals. If someone asks me to, like, I always am like, it's not my specialty, but like, I'll try. And if something comes through, I'll let you know what it is. Like that's my relationship to this practice.
Okay.
Voodoo, my dog, like she'll talk to me sometimes. And like, she'll listen to me sometimes, but sometimes she won't. It's like, it's very much like, I assume an adult feels like with their teenager, like the selective hearing and the like talking when they want to. And so like, I'm curious if you noticed that. I know you had Kitten for many years, your dog, who's sadly no longer with us. And I'm curious what your relationship with your own animal was like.
Well, this is where I'm going to get too emotional.
Okay. But, we can skip it.
it was needless to say, it was magical. And I was able to communicate with them on a level that I'm so lucky to say I could. Yeah, it was wonderful. Very powerful.
Do you get little visits still?
Yeah, I do. I'm always going to get upset when we talk, which is not a problem because it's all about love, but he's just always here. They're always here and always checking in. And I appreciate it hugely. Mm-hmm. All my darling, beautiful animals that have passed on to the other side, they're always very, very present in my life through messages and through symbols and signs constantly. And it just makes me smile and cry at the same time, but it's a beautiful thing and I'm very grateful for it.
I'm curious for our listeners if you have any tips that you would give them or advice that you would give them if they were trying to become more open to this sort of relationship with animals.
I think it's being in nature, it's putting down phones, it's every single day having your bare feet. I'm such an advocate for this, having your bare feet in soil. And I know that sounds odd, but it's a connection to the earth. We are so disconnected. And even if you're listening to this and you live in a high rise in the middle of a big metropolitan city, go into a park, take your shoes off, take your socks off, put your feet onto the earth and connect and just take that time to look at look at when you're walking down the street, look at the birds in the trees. Like, I have a massive connection with ravens. They are so communicative and they are so protective and they are such beautiful creatures and they will talk to you. They will look at you. Make eye contact with animals. Talk to them in the street. Even if you think you sound loony, it doesn't matter. They want to be acknowledged. Sit in the grass. Play with the worms. I sound like a 5-year-old, but it's all true. I'm telling you, it's when you're at you go over to your friend's house and that animal comes up to greet you. Understand how lucky you are. Understand and appreciate that when animals come to you, encourage it, be open, always just receive them with love and give them love. The animals and this earth need us desperately. We are their voice and all of us can communicate with them.
And I think we need them too, because the joy and beauty they bring, like, absolutely. I can't even think about, like, people take it for granted, you know, like could you imagine if you didn't hear birds chirping for a day? Like, be crazy.
No, we're so fortunate to have animals in our lives. Never, ever take it for granted.
Never. I wish we could keep going, but I have some stuff I gotta do tonight. I feel like we'll probably need to you know, have you on again sometime at some point, because we didn't even scratch away at the mediumship stuff, and I just love talking to you.
There are so many stories, Renee, that have happened in the past year that you don't know about, that I'm desperate to talk to you about connections that I've had, and that I've just, it seems very, very odd, and you're always my go-to person, because, you know, your gifts have just been so special to me and intricate and healing in my life. And anybody that can ever have any time with you as a friend, or working with you from spirits from elsewhere and voices and connections from the other realm, is very, very lucky, because you have such beautiful gifts. And please, please keep sharing them.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. You're like my little hype girl right now.
True.
Well, hey, if you ever want to talk about, you know, doing readings and training, you can always reach out to me, because I do believe in your gifts. I want to give you the mic, and anything you want to promo, if people want to find you on Instagram, if you want to talk about your podcast for a second, the floor is yours.
Yes. Thanks. I would love to plug. Okay. So as Renee mentioned at the top of the show, I do have a podcast. It's called Tender Loving Care, with a question mark at the end. It's available on all podcasting platforms. We have 3 shows a week, plus a Patreon episode every other week. What we do is we delve into reality trash TV, which is my joy and love in life, apart from animals.
Yeah.
So we have an episode where we dive into old TLC shows. We have one that we just concentrate on Bravo and The Housewives, and we have another that is just concentrating on 90 Day Fiancé. So you can find us anywhere. It's Tender Loving Care. And with a question mark, you can find us on Instagram at Tender Loving Care. And you can also follow my personal Instagram, which is Copyright This. That's Copyright, WRITE, This on Instagram. And yes, please check out the podcast. It's we have a ton of fun. We have guests. And Renee, you're going to come on, because we need to discuss the absolute horror show that is Sister Wife and Mr. Ringler.
I'm going to pull all their charts, and I'm going to be like, well, this makes sense now. It's going to be great.
Stop. I don't think we all need to be have connections to the other side to know that Cody Brown is an absolute moron. But, you know, we can discuss that in length.
We're going to talk about it. I'll be sure to promote it. Thank you so much for being such an awesome guest and for sharing your stories with us. I had like chills the whole time. So it's always nice to have that sort of like connection with someone.
Same. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Give Voodoo a big kiss, and the pigs. Give the pigs and Voodoo a massive kiss from me. And it will sort out dates, and we'll talk this time.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good rest of your night. Thank you again.
And you. Thanks, love. Bye.
Bye.